Has there ever been a time when you knew that you just knew that you were supposed to be doing something, that you were supposed to get in the car and go someplace, that you were supposed to say something to another person, that you were supposed to pick up the phone and call? There was just an urgency. What is happening? Well, that's what it is to be led by the Spirit. This is what life in the Spirit is all about, and it's so exciting. You know what the problem is today? So many Christians are intimidated by the world, intimidated by the intellectualism of the world. Not that Christians should not be intellectual, but what Christians many times don't realize is that God says that the foolishness that the world's wisdom is absolute foolishness. In other words, if the world is going to leave God out of the equation, and that's where America is right now. I mean, America doesn't want any Christian influence in politics, in the culture, in the morals, not in any part of our life. We should keep our Christianity to ourselves. We should go off in a corner, just go in the church, do what you want to do, lock the doors, and when you come out of the church, please don't spew all those moral values on us. We don't want to hear them. That is not right. Listen, it is in our job description. But the problem is sometimes we cower back because we don't understand life in the Spirit. We don't understand what the Spirit of God gives us when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as Paul writes to the city of Corinth, to the church at Corinth, he's been to Corinth, he's taken the gospel, a number of people have been saved. And you talk about needing to be saved, they needed to be saved. Corinthians had a reputation. The Corinthians had a reputation of Corinthianizing. And Corinthianizing was a way to say, hey, they are just out having sex all over the place. No restraints, no license, doesn't matter. Homosexual, heterosexual, pedophiles, it doesn't matter. I mean, cross-dressers, it really doesn't matter. That was to Corinthianize. And that term was picked up and coined to describe the morals in Corinth. But not only were they immoral, but they were, in a sense, amoral. They were without morals in their thinking, because their thinking was a stew. It was like mixing up a big stew and throwing everything in the pot from all the different philosophies and the people that came through Corinth. Corinth was on an isthmus, which is a narrow part of Greece, and then you come on down, and at the end of Greece is what they call the Peloponnesus. And what would happen is when they would navigate a ship around the Peloponnesus, they would have trouble navigating. It was very dangerous waters. So instead, they would anchor, they would dock their cargo ships, they would take the cargo off, and then they would transport that cargo across that isthmus to the other side, where it would be picked up by another ship there near the Aegean Sea, and it would be taken to wherever it was going in the world. Well, as a result, you had a lot of sailors, and you had a lot of people coming in from all parts of the world. It was kind of like a New York City or a Miami Beach. I mean, they were coming in from all over, and they were bringing their dialects, they were bringing their wares, they were bringing their religions, they were bringing their philosophies. And so they loved, I mean, this is a very intellectual day. And Paul has just been to Rome before he goes to Corinth. And there are men and philosophers that like to sit there and discuss all of life. It's human wisdom. So as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he wants them to make sure that they are not enamored by the wisdom of the world. So this is what he says. He says, Christ did not send me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, not with all these fancy words, not taking my words and manipulating them and managing them in order to persuade. He says that the cross of Christ should not be made void. In other words, coming to know Christ is not a matter of the intellect. It is a matter of the heart. It is a matter of understanding that you have a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked, and you need a heart transplant. And the only way that you can get that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can get it. And so he says, I didn't come in cleverness of speech. I came with the message of the cross. He said, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. So if anybody looks at you and they begin to criticize your beliefs and say that's stupid or grow up or go to school or shut your mouth, when they say that, you ought to be grieved in your heart, not because of what they said to you, but because what they said shows that they are perishing. It shows that they are going to die. If they were to die that moment, they would spend eternity in the lake of fire where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. They would be ever, forever separated, not only from God, but also from man. I've had people tell me when I've witnessed them, listen, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to have fun with all my buddies. And I want to say, and I do say, you're going to go to hell, but you're not going to have any buddies. Oh, they'll be there, but hell is separation. And that's one of the things that make it hell, because God didn't intend for us to be alone, and God didn't intend for us to be separated. God intended for us to be in a family. So you may laugh about it, and that's what you may say, but listen, you're wrong. You're wrong. Oh, well, that's your opinion. Oh, no, it's not my opinion. It's God's opinion. And if you would read the Word of God, just recently, at my age, the guy sitting next to me on the plane, I got bumped up to first class, and I'm sitting there, and this guy opens up the conversation. I want to rest. I am tired. I've been speaking. But I did say to God, God, now, if you want me to witness, I will witness. So this guy was really nice to me and very much a gentleman. And then the conversation starts and everything. And then he says, here I am trying to pick you up and you're talking to me about Jesus. That's right. You need Jesus. And I want to tell you, my friend, if you don't get him, you're going to perish. You're going to hell. And you know what? He said to me, in fact, he came up to me at baggage, and he knew that I was going to go and speak, and he came up to me in baggage claim, and he said, don't forget to send me that book, will you? God is the God of all wisdom, but they think that they're so smart. So watch what it says. For the word of the cross is to those that are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, we're in the process of knowing salvation. Knowing salvation is walking by the Spirit, saved from the power of sin. When you get saved, you're saved from the penalty of sin. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. As you live day by day and you walk by the Spirit and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then what is happening is you're saved from the power of sin. So you are being saved. He says, it is the word of the cross is to those that are perishing foolishness, but to those who are being saved or in the power of coming in the process that God is bringing them into his family, it is the power, there we go, that word again, it is the power of God. It is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. God is speaking. So he says, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? You know, sometimes do you get just plain disgusted when you listen to the news, when you listen to them take apart, sit almost as God and sit in condemnation of the president or sit in condemnation of some person because like they're the high and mighty? Have you ever watched any of these guys interview the president of the United States? They have forgotten that they are to be respectful, and they're not respectful. And oftentimes what they do is they come in and they think, I'm going to be noted for the question that I ask of the president, for the hard spot that I put the president in. And it's almost like the news media thinks that they are ruling the world and that they have it all together, that it's the wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of the world they think is what everything it ought to be. And God says, it is foolishness. It says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. In other words, they couldn't figure out salvation through their own mind. So then God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now, it's not a foolish message, but it's the foolishness of the message preached. In other words, it's, you mean I just hear that and I just say I believe and I change my mind about it and I embrace it and I'm saved? Uh-huh. Phew. Seems like I need to do something. No, precious one, it's not a matter of doing. It's a matter of believing truth. So he goes on to say, for indeed Jews asked for signs. Show me a sign and I'll believe. That's what they were constantly saying to Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. Come on down off the cross and then we'll believe. How do you expect us to believe? You said that you came to save others. You can't even save yourself. Get down off the cross. Well, he doesn't get down off the cross. It's the wisdom of the world. And it says, the Jews ask for signs, the Greeks or the Gentiles search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles. Ha! It's foolishness, absolute foolishness. I mean, you just listen very, very carefully to the way that they talk about Christians, to the way that they talk about any official, any senator or congressman or president that is open about his faith in Jesus Christ, and they just kind of flip it off because they think it's foolishness. And you know what it's showing? It's showing that they are the fool, because it is the fool that is said in his heart, there is no God. It is the fool that thinks that his mind is greater than the mind of God. Don't be a fool. We'll talk about it more right after this break.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
This year, I'm going to start a Bible study at my church.
This is the year I'm going to study the whole Bible in a year.
I'm going to make my will.
This is the year I reach my community.
This is the year that I'm going to teach new believers how to study the Bible for themselves.
This is the year I do my first precept study.
This is the year I'm going to teach my grandkids to study the Bible.
Precept Ministries is excited about 2017. And we want to help you make this your best year ever. Whether it's getting into Bible study for yourself, helping make an impact on your family and friends, or reaching out and helping others become established in God's Word, we want to help you. Visit precept.org/2017 to get started.
I'm glad you're back. I'm glad that you don't think me foolish. Or maybe you're back because you think, what a fool this woman is. I am thoroughly entertained by her lack of understanding. Listen, I'm glad you're back, and I'll take you any way that I can get you, because all I want you to do is see what God says. And then you go to God and you say, God, is this true? This is what I told the man on the plane. Look, go, I won't call him by name, but go to God. Just say, hey, this is what this woman says. Is this true? Now, he will answer you if you want to know truth. I mean, he will make it plain, because that's the business of God. The business of God is redemption. It's redeeming us from this world, redeeming us from the prince of this world, redeeming us from the kingdom of darkness, and bringing us into the kingdom of light. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And that's what it says, the word of Christ. In other words, the message of Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because I want you to see that when people put you down because of the way you think or the way that you believe, listen, life in the Spirit says, oh no, you don't have to be put down. You need to understand what life in the Spirit gives you. So let's look at it. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. It says, and we've said this before, but I want to put you in context after the break. The Jews ask for signs, the Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Gentiles, foolishness, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In other words, when you look at Jesus Christ, when you listen to him, you're listening to the wisdom of God. He is one with the Father. He says in John, the Father and I are one. God is all wise. He is the all-knowing God. And all wisdom resides in him. It would be a good exercise for you to read through the book of Proverbs, or read one chapter every single day, and mark every reference to wisdom and to wise, and you would be the wiser for it, for what you learn. All right, now he goes on to say, he says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Now, what's the foolishness of God? Well, it's when God was totally, absolutely at his weakest point. And when was that? It was when he was hanging on a cross. That's when God in the flesh was at his weakest point. So listen to what he says. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble, but God has chosen. And I love this. It helps me so much because I'm not naturally intelligent. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. In other words, everything that man esteems great, wisdom and riches and power and might, God says, that's not what I'm choosing. I don't have to go for that because it's all found in me. And so when I come into you, and imagine now God, my hand, going into us, when I come into you, you are complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. And so you are filled with the Spirit, and being filled with the Spirit, having the Holy Spirit in you, then you lack nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, let's look and see what he says. He says, God has done this. He has chosen the base things of the world. The things that are despised, God has chosen, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. In other words, you can't say, hey, look at me. God chose me because I am wise, because I am rich, because I am powerful. That's why God's chosen me. No, nah, he hasn't chosen you because of that. He's chosen you simply because he desired to choose you. And it doesn't matter what you were, what you had, what you didn't have, because of what God does for us when we experience life in the Spirit. Listen, he says, by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. The only reason that you're saved is because God drew you to him. He says, who became to us, Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. So it's not that you're a dum-dum and he leaves you a dum-dum. It's not that you don't have your act together intellectually and he leaves you without your act intellectually. No, he gives you wisdom. He gives you wisdom. Jesus becomes to you wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification. Sanctification means he sets you apart. He's making you holy. And redemption means he buys you out of that slave market of sin, never to be sold again. Just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast not in yourself, but boast in the Lord. Now, this is what he's showing these people at Corinth. This is what he wants them to understand. And he wants you to understand it too. So that you are able in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, to hold your own as you go forth sharing the Word of God. Now let's go to chapter 2. In chapter 2, and we're going to skip down to verse 9. It says, just as it is written, eye is not seen, and ear is not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, everything that God has for us is not comprehended by the eye. It's not comprehended by the ear. It's not comprehended by the heart. And to the Jew, the heart and the mind were interchangeable. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Through his Spirit. That's how you understand. That's how you know what you have. And this is so important. Do you remember when we were in John 14? Remember when Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a helper? Do you remember in that chapter later on, he says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. And he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And we know from John 17 that God's Word is truth. And so this is where it comes from. And so he goes on to say, it says, for to us, God revealed them to us through the Spirit. You want to mark the Spirit there. I'm in verse 10. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Remember when we didn't know how to pray as we ought in Romans chapter 8? It says that the Spirit helps our weakness because God who searches the minds and hearts knows the Spirit, and the Spirit and God connect. Well, here again, the Spirit of God has connected with God, is part of God, and gives us the wisdom of God. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, how can one man look at another man when a good-looking woman walks by and says, don't go there? Because they know. They know that a man is turned on by sight. They know that a man, you know, it's the man's eyes. I mean, that's where sex begins. It's in the eyes and in the mind for a man. That's where it begins. And they know because they're a man. A woman, you tell her, look, don't dress like that. And she says, well, why? And he says, well, what will guys think? And she says, well, they're just dirty old men. No, they're not. They're men. But a woman can't understand that because she doesn't have the spirit of a man, male, in her. The same as you can't understand how your dog feels about her puppies when she gives birth to them because you're not a dog. Aren't you glad you're not a dog? Okay, dogs have no redemption. For who among men know the thoughts of man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we who have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. When you get saved, you have the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man, now listen carefully, these people that are sitting criticizing you, rolling their eyes, looking at you and thinking you don't know which way's up and you need to get your intellectual act together, is a natural man. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual, that's the person that has the Spirit, appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. In other words, what's he saying? He said, don't let unsaved people sit in judgment on your beliefs. Why? Because verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we should instruct him? And this is it. It is dynamite, but we have the mind of Christ. When God came inside of you and he saved you and the Holy Spirit moved in, he gave you the mind of Christ so that you can hear the things of God, know the things of God, understand the things of God. The world can't understand them. And because they cannot understand them, because they do not have the Spirit of God inside of them, don't let them sit in judgment on you. They don't know truth. All they know is the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness and which is going to perish. You say, but I don't feel very smart. I don't feel like I know much about the mind of God. Well, the problem is you're not in the Word of God. You're not studying it. God has given you 66 books, beloved, and he expects you to study and read them and know them. That's a lifetime's work. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for studying with me his precepts for life.
Thank you for watching today. For books or Bible study materials discussed on this program, visit our website at preceptsforlife.com. For more information about Precept Ministries International, log on to our website, preceptsforlife.com, or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. And join us next time as we look at more Precepts for Life.